The final launch of Discovery is now set for Wednesday. A Yemeni woman is detained, then released in Thursday's Al-Qaeda bomb threat. And TSA's secure flight takes full effect today. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 1st, 2010. NASA's official countdown clock for the launch of shuttle mission STS-133 began ticking backward at 2 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday. The start of Discovery's last mission is now set for Wednesday at 3:52 p.m. NASA Test Director Steve Payne announced yesterday morning the work to repair helium and nitrogen leaks is complete. The system is repressurized and work is on schedule. The mission management team is meeting this morning with a pre-launch news conference scheduled to follow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That'll be carried live on NASA TV. The weather forecast remains at 70% chance of favorable conditions at launch time. President Obama announced in a press conference Friday that packages found abroad addressed to locations in the U.S. contained explosive materials and represented a credible terrorist threat. Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula is thought to be responsible for those packages, which originated in Yemen. The explosive devices were improvised from toner cartridges containing pentaerythritol tetranitrate, or PETN, a recent favorite with terrorists. The discovery caused some cargo planes to be grounded Friday and led to a day of heightened tensions. At least one passenger plane en route to New York's JFK Airport, which was reportedly carrying a package from Yemen, was escorted by NORAD jets from Canada and the U.S. That plane landed without incident, but authorities said they were acting out of an abundance of caution. Over the weekend, Yemeni authorities detained a woman thought to have sent the packages. Yesterday, she was released, with government officials saying her identity apparently was stolen by the actual perps. TSA's Secure Flight behind-the-scenes watch list matching program goes into full effect today. TSA says the program fulfills a key recommendation of the 9/11 Commission by assuming responsibility for watch list matching from individual airlines. TSA says Secure Flight enhances aviation security and more effectively facilitates air travel for passengers. Secure Flight requires airlines to collect a passenger's full name as it appears on your government-issued ID, date of birth, sex, and redress number if applicable. By providing complete information, passengers can significantly decrease the likelihood of watch list misidentification. If the documents don't match exactly, TSA says small differences in the name on the boarding pass and ID, like middle initials, should not impact your travel. We should find out pretty soon. Up next on ANN, EADS promotes its KC-45 as the low-risk option for the Pentagon. NASA chooses Census to devise surface conflict algorithms. And the FAA moves to ease charitable flying. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 1st. I'm Paul Plack. It's November now, the month the Pentagon is expected to announce the winner of the KCX Tanker Competition, Round 3. EADS North America and Boeing are the contenders, and EADS continues touting what it says is the lower risk in going with its KC-45 proposal, based on success with U.S. allies who have chosen a similar configuration. EADS reports the maiden flight of the 2nd Airbus Military A330 multi-role tanker transport for the UK's Royal Air Force, a two-hour flight from Getafe, Spain, last Tuesday evening. The company says the KC-45 would be the U.S. Air Force configuration of the A330 MRTT and points out it's the only tanker in the KCX competition that's in production and flying today. EADS North America Chairman Ralph Crosby Jr. also noted, quote, "And we're going to put 48,000 Americans to work building the KC-45 here in the U.S., unquote. The impact on employment is not supposed to be a consideration in evaluating the bids, but it does help bring congressional pressure on the Pentagon if jobs in members' districts would be affected. The KC-45 also wouldn't exactly be built in the U.S. It would be converted and finished here based on Airbus A330 airframes built in Europe. AFP News reports Eads is also pointing to the success of the UH-72A Lakota helicopter program as a benchmark for expectations with the KC-45. Eads North America has delivered 133 Lakotas to the U.S. Army since 2006. NASA has selected Sensis Corporation to develop ground-based surface conflict detection and resolution algorithms, or CDNR. They'll be integrated into surface simulation environments, expanding NASA's capability to simulate airport surface conflicts. The algorithms will address runway taxiway intersections, encroachments into active runways, merging and following aircraft, and departure cues. They'll reflect uncertainties in surveillance data, navigational errors, variation in pilot and controller behavior, off-nominal conditions, and mixed aircraft equipage to provide complex conflict resolutions to the controller and appropriately equipped aircraft. Sensis VP Ken Kaminsky touts his company's experience in developing and fielding conflict detection and alerting algorithms for use at the world's busiest airports, and says the new algorithms will take into account current and near-term avionics, surveillance, and operational concepts. A groundbreaking ruling by the FAA means good news for volunteer pilots engaged in charitable flying. An FAA exemption issued for Angel Flight Mid-Atlantic, Airlift Hope, and Mercy Medical Airlift will allow pilots flying for any of the three volunteer pilot organizations to receive reimbursement for fuel used in the transport of patients, wounded warriors, and veterans. Operating under Part 91, pilots have historically used their own aircraft and paid for all expenses associated with these charitable medical flights. But high fuel costs and a faltering national economy have forced many dedicated volunteers to give up or cut back on their public benefit flying. Mercy Medical Airlift thanked Senators Mark Warner of Virginia, James Inhofe of Oklahoma, Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia, and Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf and Glenn Nye for their support. Still ahead, a student pilot has trouble with his second solo. EAA brings Sport Air workshops to Atlanta. And FAA will look into Senator Inhofe's landing on a closed runway last week. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 1st. I'm Paul Plack. A 60-year-old student pilot reportedly had a little trouble with his second solo last Thursday at Tampa North Aero Park in Florida. WFTS-TV reports that witnesses said the airplane seemed to skid off the runway on takeoff and hit two cars at a nearby business. There was no fuel leakage or fire reported. The FAA report says the pilot lost control of the Cessna 172 for unknown reasons. The student pilot was not injured, but the plane was substantially damaged. EAA says a few spots remain open for aircraft builders in several EAA Sport Air Workshop courses in suburban Atlanta this coming weekend. Sport Air Workshops is a national series of programs offering insight and information on building and restoring aircraft, supported by Aircraft Spruce and Specialty. EAA Chapter 690 will host the weekend program at Gwinnett County Airport Briscoe Field in Lawrenceville, Georgia, and there are spots available in courses covering composite construction, electrical systems and avionics, fabric covering, and sheet metal basics, all of which run in the range of $269 to $294 for EAA members and slightly more for non-members. There's also one called What's Involved in Kit Building. That one is a 2.5-hour seminar that only costs $25, regardless of EAA membership. For more details, visit sportair.com. And finally, the FAA now says it will look into an incident involving U.S. Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, in which he landed his Cessna 340 on a closed runway at Port Isabel Cameron County Airport last week. The Oklahoman reports that at least one eyewitness said Inhofe's actions endangered the workers performing runway maintenance. The supervisor of the maintenance crew said his workers could feel the prop wash from the landing plane and that one was hit by debris. According to the Tulsa World, Inhofe admitted he did not get the NOTAM and said the first he knew of the closure was 20 seconds before touchdown, but that he took care to land away from the area where work was being performed. Inhofe is the ranking Republican on the Senate's Aviation Subcommittee. If the GOP should take back the Senate in voting tomorrow, he'd presumably become the chairman next year. Call me a cynic, but I can't help wondering if the FAA folks investigating this one won't be glued to their TV sets for late election returns tomorrow night. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller celebrates the return of over the airwaves from hiatus with a fresh look at accidents as a deterrent to the growth of the pilot population and what it would take to turn things around. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.